Smile, everyone. Smile, because it's time to talk about Doctor Who at AfterBuzz TV. We're definitely smiling.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show, where we're talking about the episode Smile, Season 10, Episode 2. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson, and I have the entire panel back today to talk about the sophomore episode of Peter Capaldi's last season with Doctor Who. Let's get into it. I've got Tari Miller here, jamming out. He's smiling.
You can find me on Tari J. Miller. It's T-A-U-R-J-A-Y. That's Twitter. Yes, Twitter.
It's got
take
weird.
It, Dave. Take it, Dave. Take Dave.
You couldn't find me at Mr. Dave Child or DaveChild.com. My name is Dave Child.
Adrian.
Hi guys, I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. I love jams of vitamin C. Much love. To the graduation song.
The look on Adrian's face as Dave started rapping or whatever.
It's kind of a more rhythmic poetry. It's more
but Adrian, your face, if anybody's just listening to this, I highly recommend going to YouTube because your face was like exactly how everyone was smiling in this episode.
Good.
Yeah, there we go.
I had some nanobots ready.
Hey, Sydney in the chat says, Tari's got them moves.
Hell yeah.
And IMO is just excited about Dave Child.
That's good enough for me.
All right. Let's get into this episode. First reactions up top. What do you guys think of Smile?
Well, I loved the design of the robots and that the location that they were at. That was killer. And that was at the City of Arts and Sciences in Valencia, Spain. For all the above-ground stuff, they went on location to... this kind of destination in Valencia, Spain, that isn't really surrounded by wheat fields. It's in the middle of a city, but that was awesome. Yeah. It was a great choice to use that. So it was really pretty. There's points of it I really liked. I have a big hang up on this one, but I loved all of the looks of all the robots. I like the premise a lot. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, I liked it. It's just something about the ending I want to talk about a little later.
Okay. I really liked it. Even with the wonky ending, I thought it was a really fun episode. I thought it was a really good view back into who Capaldi is now.
Right.
And Bill, man, she's my favorite.
Yeah.
She's so good.
I loved Bill's performance and Capaldi's. I think they have really good chemistry, not like in a romantic chemistry, but just like a good, like, companion doctor chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Benta.
Which I didn't feel like he always has, like, mm-hmm. all of his companions. But it was good. I will say that sometimes, just for me personally, the second episode after a new companion's been introduced is always kind of like, okay.
All right.
Even like when I think about Amy when she was first introduced to the Doctor in their second episode when they go on the ship and
the whale episode,
that was okay. It's a little kind of like on the nose with the like push for humanity in the future, which is kind of something that they always do second episode, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought the design was beautiful. I thought they had great chemistry. I liked the kind of like Vashta Narati kind of throwback with Vardy.
Vardy.
The
Vardys.
So I liked that because it kind of reminded me of Silence in the Library.
Yeah. There was a lot of, like, the Moffat formula was mm-hmm. in effect. Even though he didn't write it, it still felt like it had there's a rule you can't break.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cute but sinister monster.
I mean, it's the base under attack. Like, the base under attack is, like, one of the main Doctor Who tropes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is something like... 30-40% of all Doctor mm-hmm. Who episodes are base under attack.
And it's single action title, like wink.
Yeah.
Smile.
Smile.
Yeah. Mm. Right.
It has the, you know, it has the don't like, look in the puddle. Don't yeah. look in the shadows. Don't look in the, you know, like, mm-hmm. keep smiling. Never blink. It's all that, like, one rule thing.
Yeah, Moffat like. Really does like that one yeah. rule thing where it, like, maybe he's just trying to recreate the phenomenon around, sure. that was around blink. Where, like,
I think so.
Well, because, like, yeah. the idea of, like, don't blink around statues yeah. is, like, that's that carries
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
I kind of wish he'd never brought back the angels. I was like, that, the episode of Link was so good that when he kept bringing them back, I was like, no, stop it. You're yeah. ruining my fear. So.
Which is always what we want. Less fear.
Someone on a Reddit forum for Doctor Who, by the way, suggested that someone makes a tracking eye thing for your computer, for your screensaver, so you'll have an angel that always changes place every time you look away from your computer, and then you go back.
Absolutely not.
Sounds so horrifying.
Absolutely so not.
Horrifying. I need it.
I want it, but it's also
some
scary.
Of, some yeah. of our viewers are also giving us their opinions live in the chat. Florence Flower says the ending was a bit rushed, but overall still yeah. enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. IMOS is very wonky. Kristen Schweibert says very nice storyline and great lines
yeah.
as well. I thought this episode was over. I think I'm similar to you, Dave. Like I thought this episode had a lot of great pieces. There was a lot of moments that I really liked. The design was really cool. There's some really cool sci-fi
yeah.
elements like at work here. But there was something by the end of it that just like it didn't go full I can't say that I loved the episode. I don't even know, like, it's not one that I'll like be itching to rewatch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it was kind of, I didn't hate it, but it didn't like turn me off. It wasn't like a sour episode. It was just kind of a meh. It's like yeah. what you were saying with the, it's all right.
Yeah, yeah. Look, yeah. I mean, big improvement for Frank Trell Boyce, who's yeah. the writer of this episode, who wrote my least favorite episode of Doctor Who ever,
right.
which is the In the Forest. It's a longer title than that, but it's the forest episode from Peter Capaldi.
Scary right. Trees.
Where trees take over London. And it was just a weird, off-the-wall, like, it never quite hits right.
Yeah.
And, like, this had a better plot. But I did get a sense that, like, there was, it was, the similarity to me is that there was an overall message that, mm-hmm. like, I felt like they were trying to say, and yeah. just, but I have no idea what it was.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah, my biggest, if we want to dive right into the criticism at the end, was I feel like they just, they didn't wrap up the story. Like, I was very confused about yeah. the ending.
Mm. Well, let's get back to the ending. Let's start off just, like, the way that we set up
yeah.
this world that we're living. That's like, or this colony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also have to, like, start with, I think, was a great check-in with Nardal right at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get into that. Okay. And, like, every, like, like more, because it's like another little hint to this bigger through line yeah. of like yeah. what is in the vault,
yeah.
what is he protecting, protecting what mm-hmm. is this oath. Mm-hmm. We're absolutely going to get into
yeah.
that, but let's talk about the Vardy and the,
fair
the or as my I refuse to not call them the emoji bots.
The emoji bots.
I was going with emobots.
Emobots.
Yeah. That just sounds like they're like, what's up?
That's how they felt to me. Especially with that, like, that, like, really incredulous face.
When there were no humans around, they were just like, what's happening?
I'm going to listen to the bright eyes.
It sounds like the angsty teenage Transformers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I would watch that, too.
Transform yeah. into, you don't get me, Dad!
I don't want to be a vehicle. I want to be a dancer.
I would also
watch
that.
I want to be a cassette
tape. But yeah, so like, but the Doctor wants Bill to pick.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we can go anywhere now.
Mm-hmm. See the future. And
she wants the future, which I think, what would you guys pick, real quick? I'm really curious.
The future.
I would be too scared of stepping on a butterfly or something.
You know why.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, I would know exactly why.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll go back to the 80s. Maybe.
That's when it stopped.
Early
90s? 1996?
Yes. I also would go to the future. I also, on my second viewing, caught that, like, they went to this place because Bill was like, I want to see if the future is happy. And so they go to, like, what is known as the happiest place. Yeah. I thought that was a really nice touch.
And that's... the constant bending of how the TARDIS has flown.
Well, I like that there was just like a confirmation of like sometimes when he lands in the wrong place, it's because it's a negotiation between the TARDIS. It's not necessarily that he's always going to get what he wants because the TARDIS is living and breathing. Well, living, and so it can kind of be like, I think we're going to go back to this place.
It gives us like a reason why that we never. While occasionally the Doctor can pilot into the exact second and location that he's supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And other times it's like, how the hell did we wind up here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's because sometimes, and it's similar to the Doctor's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where it's like, I always took you where you needed to be.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I love the idea that the TARDIS is a living, breathing thing and you have to negotiate. With it. Notice the Doctor referred to the TARDIS as it at one point. I think he then said she like a minute later.
Yeah.
It threw me off for a moment where it was like, did you just call her an it?
How dare you?
How dare you, 12?
But there was a nice little weird kind of, I'm just looking for crap at this point, hint of like when she's like, I could steal it from you. And he's like, yeah, you could steal it from me. And I was like,
what? Oh, your theory?
I just, I don't know.
I feel like he's...
That was a nice little random thing that they said, sorry. That I was kind of like, I wonder if that's going to play into something later on.
Right, maybe.
Yeah.
I do like the chair discussion, but I'm surprised he didn't say, like, it's like a standing desk. I find the sitting down to be the new smoking cigarettes.
Well, what are the chairs for? There's only two chairs, right?
Yeah, they're there just in case you want to sit.
Powered, the TARDIS is usually driven, quote-unquote, by 8 Time Lords.
Right.
The chairs are for passengers, guys. Yeah, like, there's a restroom and a pool. Like, well, I think they're all around. Like, they circle the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or if you start piling and you're like, I'm tired. I'd like to take a nap.
Yeah.
You know?
Then why don't you just go to your bedroom?
Because maybe you want to be part of the action. Because you still need to be like, you got extreme FOMO.
I'm just being difficult.
No, I like difficult.
Like, I'm going to keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they get to this colony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we're introduced to this world where if you're not happy, if you're not presenting a smile, then
you're not putting a smile on your face and making the world a better place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What you gonna do?
Then you're gonna
take a look at yourself.
Then you're gonna die. That's what you're gonna do.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so
you could just make a change.
The
you get changed to fertilizer.
The reason that we're given is they were programmed to make everyone happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think of that as the like general conceit for these robots?
I think. It speaks a lot to how humans perceive what happiness is.
Yeah.
Because it kind of, I mean, they were obviously programmed by humans to do this, and, you know, we just put in general things like, make sure we're always happy. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Could you be more specific? Happy in what way? What if this happens? And so, like, there's no contingency plans for when, like, happiness is just not really an option.
Right.
And it kind of reminded me of the episode of Black Mirror from this past season, the first, I can't think of the name, Nosedive. Because there was this, like, false happiness that you had to present. And if you didn't present it, then that would cause for your life to become miserable. So, there's just that kind of never-ending strive towards this happiness which doesn't really exist.
Yeah,
and that's that episode of Black Mirror, and I think this episode is playing off of the kind of social media concept of always putting happy emojis on the end of everything, always looking like you're happy wherever you go and being online. And it's using that, and it's not... It's also talks about the wave of grief that happens, and it's seeing that it's like grief is the exact opposite of happiness, which isn't necessarily true, but in this world. I think it was a nice theme, and it made me really get into the episode when it first started. I was like, oh, good, existential angst, existential like stuff I could play with. I love that stuff.
Yeah, I actually like this concept that to a robot, if you are inconsolable, you are better served as dirt.
Yes.
You're better off dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and some people feel that way, which is which is a bummer.
Yeah. Oh, I just realized that's a big bummer.
Yeah, it is a big bummer.
Yeah.
But, like, because I think that we sometimes also, not just robots, feel like there's no scope of happiness. It's just like happy or nothing, you know? And as a utility bot, like, I love the idea of this, that, like, humans are as, they're basically also just resources. They're not, like, the primary, like, even though they're builders, they're not, like, the prime, I guess, owners of this land. They're just another resource in order to make someone happy or sad.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and they just see, like, the deletion of someone doesn't make them unhappy. It just makes them off the board.
Right.
They're just taken off the board.
And they may become feed for the plants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes the plants happy.
Plants are happy now.
It's not an unreasonable thing to do with a human carcass that's been stripped of life. All of its skin and blood and tissue.
Yeah.
And like, the calculation is that grief causes more grief.
Yeah,
that's what these. That's what the robots are seeing.
Yeah.
So, the only way to stop it is
increasing amounts of death causes more grief. Yeah. Really, that's what's happening.
That also goes to explain that they don't have an understanding of death and how it affects others,
and also how temporary grief is. Mm-hmm. They think that when you've reached grief, there's no coming back from that.
Yeah.
There's nothing they can do to make someone happy out of grief because it's so strong. And so that's kind of what's happening. And so they end up killing someone, and then more grief happens from that person getting killed, and then that's where the plague of grief kind of comes in.
Yeah.
I liked in this episode how it just moves. The movement of the episode is really good, too, because often with the Doctor, I often feel like if they get dropped into the middle of a dangerous place, I always appreciate it whenever he's like, okay, now we gotta go. Gotta go. He doesn't look for adventure.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes like, we gotta go, but first I need to blow up this place. Mm-hmm. So when people come here, more people don't keep dying. I have a moral imperative to do that.
And I think you kind of also realize that he misses it. Like, you know, because sometimes he's like, we should go. No, it's a fixed time, you know, and he's like, well, is it really?
He spent 50 years just being like a teacher. Just
chilling, being a professor.
Yeah.
I would want to run off and blow some crap up too.
Yeah.
If that was my job.
So this is my this is my nitpick.
You know what I mean?
with his plan, if he had blown up this, I get that he was trying to save the colonists from the robots. But, like, if you blow up this place that's going to be their home, I feel like you're also dooming them in a way.
I think that's step one of the plan.
Is it, though?
I think, well, for all we know, because usually the Doctor's a couple steps. So I bet his plan was, okay, I'm going to blow up the place just to make sure no one lands here and gets killed. And now I'm going to find the people that are going to show up, and I'll find them a better place to live. I'm sure that's what the next step was.
Something like that. Yeah, I think he had some. He wasn't, because I had the same thought. Like, I feel like they're expecting those resources to be there. And usually space travel has a lot of calculation in resources.
I didn't think he was actually going to blow it up until he was in the reactor. And I was like, oh, you're like, you're not saying that like you're phrasing like, oh, I'm going to blow it up. Actually, I'm just going to go in. I'm going to make sure they're not violent anymore. You're actually going to just blow the whole thing up.
But he's so wrong.
Yeah.
And I got to say, like, I think looking back, like, Capaldi's Doctor is wrong a lot. Like, he makes a lot of assumptions and then is proven wrong.
He's senile?
Not for senile, but like...
Well, I kind of felt like he was senile stuff like, in the beginning of last season.
Like Robin Hood. He was wrong.
Right.
I'm trying to think of the other examples because I've...
go ahead.
I was going to say, while you're thinking about it, I mean, I actually don't feel like he's more wrong. I feel more like he's more transparent about being wrong. So, because I feel like Tennant and Matt Smith, they would always play it off like it was always part of the plan. But like Capaldi is like, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Like, he's actively going through the steps of being like, sometimes when you're wrong, you just gotta pretend you're right. And so, like, I think he's
too old for that.
Yeah,
he's like, you know what, I don't have time. I'm wrong. Okay, I'm over 2,000 years old. Sometimes I'm wrong. Get over it.
Yeah. Also, Capaldi looks great whenever he goes, oops. And I would hate to, like, miss out on that. Like,
yeah. And ooh. I do love the reveal that they're all there. Yes. Like, as he's like, I've solved the day. Oh, no.
Yeah. And it was a great, like, momentum of the episode because of that. It was like, oh, no, they're all there.
Yeah.
So now they got to figure out how to solve the actual problem rather than just hitting the... big reset button.
Big grab button.
Which, oops, they end up doing.
Yeah, the main problem I had with this episode they unlock, they start waking up all of the...
Yeah.
colonists that are in the freezer
what
tubes.
Wakes them up? It's not, is it him messing with the reactor?
I think he said it was just them entering the ship. It's right. Like any person coming in there.
That's right,
because activated a protocol.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We see the kid first and then we see the first guy out. Maintenance med guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like just hitting the idea of them as a truly intelligent being...
You can't just hit the reset button.
...is... That has problems of its own if you're going to establish them as an intelligent force and then mind wipe them.
But that's... You know what? I think what they're doing is they keep bringing that up. Like, every well, it's only two episodes. But I feel like that's just something that they're just wanting people to, like, not forget, like... just random mind wipes of sentient and intelligent beings. Like, let's not forget this.
You're right. That is two in a row.
Yeah.
And we did... It was a big thing last year.
Last season,
2 years ago. With Clara. And, like, is it okay to mind wipe somebody?
That wasn't my problem. I didn't mind the reset. My problem is he didn't solve anything. There's absolutely nothing that he could have made it... They could have made it clear that it's like, listen, this is what you have to do now. Mm-hmm. We're making them so they're not responsible for your feelings. Mm-hmm. They're separate entities, and so now you're working together. So the grief problem and the making you happy problem will never happen again because they're two separate problems, and they're two separate, like, colonies, so they're working together. That doesn't happen.
Seemed to be the implication, but it was never spelled out.
Yeah, it was the implication until he said, just remember, keep smiling. And I was like, don't say that!
Yeah.
That just, now it makes it seem like they're always going to be killed if they stop smiling.
It sounds like they're set up, they're like in a Skynet situation where it's like, Skynet's been erased, but, you know, not that they were like terminated or anything. So,
<We're> like, it should be okay. They're now, like, these remainders of Earthlings are now reliant on the mercy of the emoji bot.
And if they lose it, then they might just kill them all.
Yeah, to me, it was kind of like he left being like, okay, now I just have Israeli and Palestine. Bye. And then he, like, left.
Mm.
And there's going to be conflict because all he did was say, these are the indigenous people and you're the people invading. You have to be nice to them. If you're not nice, you will die because they're more powerful. Mm. That's going to happen. And I'm heading out
now. You know, he has a lot of faith in humanity.
Yes. Well, I think I disagree with, like, with the view of the situation, and that I feel like he essentially, by erasing their protocols, freed them from slavery.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
And so, like, in so basically, it's like as if, it's like as if,
like, the
Ood, the sort of, like the Ood, or if, like, when Europe came and they're like, this is our land now, and he's like, no, it's their land. And, like, you have to figure out how
to... Can we have that episode?
I mean, something like it.
That sounds great. It's just like, why does he say keep smiling? That's my only problem.
That was just a weird button that they didn't need. I think it was just...
And it wasn't like this was like a native species that they like entrapped to do this for them. This was like, these are robots that they invented. And the idea of artificial intelligence and when it becomes... a truly sentient. Autonomous sentient being is a fascinating one that their entire series based humans. Just around that theory, like Westworld. But I didn't feel like they gave it enough, like that wasn't the theme of this episode, and it felt like it was like sort of tacked on to the end. I never got the idea that they never presented the idea that these were at all intelligent.
Yeah, it wasn't
robots.
Like an ood situation.
They just seemed like very clearly programmed. Very clearly programmed robots that were acting according to a protocol. That does not say that is not intelligence.
He's faced
to
that
me.
Before, where even with the thing it's a long time ago, season 10 or season 11 with Amy and Rory, and they go into that future world, and she ends up aging,
right?
Like through because she goes into the wrong,
right.
And they have those little robots too, and he's not like
Moffat really
them.
Likes that like white robotic like looking. Mm-hmm. It's also like the Boston Errata,
That 2001 thing. Yeah, I just feel like all they needed to do was introduce the idea that life needs grief, and grief is a part of happiness, and it in the long run. And if they kept to that theme and didn't enter into this theme of, oh, you're now an intelligent race, I think it would have been a stronger episode, because he just would have been like, I've programmed into them the idea of grief and how temporary it is and how easy it is to move past it and find happiness. So now it's not going to be a problem. That's all they needed to do.
Yeah, I think it would have been a better payoff to focus on that.
Yeah,
I think kind of pushing that agenda of like, be happy. I think that just kind of sucks, because you have this whole big thing that you set up about grief and how people deal with it, and it's just kind of tossed aside to work on the bots instead.
Some of the chat thinks that it was him just telling a joke, but that's a bad joke, and not like a bad like dad joke, which the doctor will often do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like a joke about how all these people's families family members were just killed, and also like. It comes off as like, make sure you're doing you don't do the thing that like they just died with. Yeah. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
It wasn't delivered like a joke. Mm-hmm. And regardless of whether that was the intention, it didn't read that way.
It also, Bill and him and the doctor both agreed on it when they said it.
Yeah.
So they said it like, duh, keep smiling. Yeah. And I just felt like, oh, what are we doing? You're giving the wrong message.
It makes me almost feel like there's something that... There's like a clip or a shot that we are missing. That if we had that, then maybe we'd have better clarification. because it just doesn't make sense to talk about grief in that way. And it doesn't seem very much like the doctor to deal with grief in that way. Unless they're attempting to make a point about the doctor not being able to deal with the idea of grief and would rather have someone erased. To deal with that.
I would agree with that if Bill hadn't been right with him.
Maybe she has some grief.
She has some problems.
That's true. Her mom is
well.
Dead.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So maybe.
I can
give them that bone. Like,
yeah,
but maybe that's what you meant.
Except for that, I thought it was a great episode.
Except for the whole third act.
Like just that scene.
Yeah.
Just the like how they wrapped everything up. That's the only thing that felt and it didn't even feel rushed to me. It felt like they made the wrong choice in that, because it could have been that as fast.
It felt like there were writers assigned to write the beginning and writers assigned to write the end. And they did not get to talk to each other. I was kind of like, well,
they put them in
this
two
is a weird twist. Like, you both have an idea of where you're going, but last 5 minutes.
It just changed
sense.
Theme with it. It changed the theme within a scene.
Yeah.
And you can't do that in the last scene of a show. Otherwise, real fun episode with a lot of good action sequences. Mm-hmm. I love the effects of the nanobots. They're flying through the air, and the fact they sound like bees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, the Vardi. The reason why they're called the Vardi is because the writer Boyce worked with a professor named Andrew Vardy, who specializes in swarm robotics.
Oh.
So he's named after a specific professor from a college.
Where did he pull that name from within the episode, though? Because I actually missed it.
In the episode, like, people say it the whole time.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They call them the Vardy.
So, like, in the very
beginning. Just recognize them as, oh, they're Vardy here.
Right.
That's what I saw it as, I think.
Okay.
That's how he is.
It's like, knows about these flying nanobot swarms are
called Vardys.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a weird question for you guys.
Please. Ask us.
Do you think that there were children inside of those Vardy costumes? Or if they were just actual robots? Or if they were adults using perspective? What do you guys think about these robots?
I think they were little people.
One of them, because I have this in front of me by chance. There are two people credited as emoji bots.
Mm-hmm.
And that is literally what... at least Wikipedia says they are called.
Craig, is
Craig Garner and Kieran Shaw. And I only have an actual article for Kieran, but he was born in 1956, so not a child.
Okay.
And he is 4'2". So yeah, okay. he's a little person. Little person.
Mm-hmm. And a stuntman. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a little person stuntman who's been doing work since 1977, it says.
The reason why I thought that is because if they had a kid, they would have to... it's a lot more restrictive to when they can actually shoot the kid.
Right.
So it makes more sense to not get a child.
When can you shoot a kid?
You could shoot a kid between the hours.
All right. Nope.
Okay, fair enough. I do want to talk about... I love how they brought back Don't Look at My Browser History.
Yeah.
Because he has said that in a previous episode before.
I really wanted that kid to say, "Are you my mommy?"
Because
he said mommy, and I was like, say it, say it. But he didn't. But anytime they can throw that in, it's an old school. Why are you backing away? It's an old school reference.
No, I know. let's. Do you guys have any other thoughts on the Vardy or that plot line? Because I want to go back and talk about the vault.
Yeah,
sure. I do want to mention one other line that I really liked from this one, which is when he's talking about how many Scotlands there are in space and how they're all striving for independence. Which I thought,
striving for independence from whatever planet they're on.
Yeah, which I think is great. And also was kind of a nod towards where they were, I think, heading towards with these Vardys, that they were also kind of the indigenous people striving for independence later. Even though I kind of disagree with that, it was still kind of a nice little scene to put in. So that was cool.
And also, it's another Scotland thing in a second of New Companion. Because Amy's first one, the Scottish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, also... Also, they mentioned casually where different places they can go, I think, when they head back. And they mention Wiltshire or Amberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
And Wiltshire was the setting for the 1971 episode. This is not me. This is Wikipedia. But I did find this out. Setting for the 1971 The Daemons, which is a Master episode. So it might be nodding towards the Master a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And Aberdeen was the last place they dropped off Sarah Smith before, she obviously came back later.
Yeah.
But during Last Companion episode, which I thought was interesting. And maybe that was just a nod, but it could also be kind of where...
dropping hints.
It's in the Hand of Fear. So if you guys maybe know those episodes and maybe what they're trying to say with those little nods, maybe let us know in the chat.
Yeah.
Besides that, you wanted to talk about the vault.
Yeah.
Get into the vault. I love starting off with Nardal kind of being the mom of the group how he referred to Nardal as
mom.
It's mom. And I was like, oh no. Yeah. We've got to meet the doctor's mom.
That'd be cool.
And I was like, oh no, it's Nardal.
Yeah.
I want to know what his body is made out of. Is anyone else? Because we just
a screw dropped out of him or something.
He's got a robotic body.
Yeah. Does anyone realize he's the new canine? That's exactly what he is.
Yeah.
I can't wait till they use him like they use K-9, or he does something where it's just like, well, and something pops out of him and he's able to do like some sort of Jiminy opening up a box or something.
I just love how he's like, I'm not making her tea. I'm like, ouch.
Yeah, he was real snide.
Why are you so up against Bill?
Well, he's really into whatever oath or whatever this thing they're setting up.
Yeah, he said that the Doctor made an oath.
Yeah.
To never leave Earth.
Yeah, to not leave Earth unless it was an emergency.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In order to guard this vault.
Mm-hmm. So what's in the vault?
What's in the vault?
What's in the box?
What's in the vault? What's in the vault?
That's a Seven reference for you youngins out there.
All you kids out there, watch Seven so you can get that reference.
Nope.
Don't watch Seven.
Wait till you're at least 15.
Do not. It's not a hilarious
legally
movie.
17. Gotta be safe. It just gotta be legal.
It's scary what's in the box. Anyways, I do. Isn't there a fan theory right now that maybe what's in the vault is actually the first Doctor? I've heard that theory.
That's interesting. Okay, so.
Why?
I want to save the rumors until we go into predictions.
Okay, so never mind. You didn't hear anything.
No, not yet.
When are we getting to predictions?
But fan theories, that is an interesting fan theory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pregnant pause.
All right, you know what? All right, because I don't want to stop this train of discussion because it's a really interesting one. So I'll just
play
say
predictions.
Right now,
No, we have time. So what do you want?
Actually, you know what? Hit the prediction.
Yeah, hit the prediction. AfterBuzz
TV prediction.
We don't have anything else to talk about right now. This is the main thing left in the episode.
Okay.
I just wanted to give a spoiler warning in case anyone is sensitive to the full season trailers rumors that are out there. Like some people don't want to be spoiled by that.
Right.
And I understand. That said, there are a bunch of rumors flying around. We talked about some of them last week. Mm-hmm. The big one that's out right now is David Bradley, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the actor's name?
From,
That plays Filch in Harry Potter.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's also in Game of Thrones.
And he played the first Doctor
He played episode. William Hartnell in
got it.
In the made for TV movie about William Hartnell's life.
Yes.
He was cast in an unknown role
in
this year's Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
And the big fan theory out there is that he is playing the first Doctor.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've already accepted him as
the first Doctor.
Somebody who is William Hartnell.
Mm-hmm.
If that TV movie did that really weird thing at the end where he had a whole conversation with Matt Smith.
Oh.
Mm.
Yeah, it's super weird.
I haven't actually seen that TV movie, so now I want to see it.
It's a biopic. It is not a fictional story.
Yeah.
It's the story of William Hartnell's life.
It's not like
and then
the
at the end,
he means,
he's like, it gets to the end of his career, but he has a conversation with Matt Smith's Doctor.
So it's like the Doctor visited him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, they've already kind of made it in, oh my god, the name of the Doctor, right? Not the Day of the Doctor.
An Adventure in Space and Time. That's
the movie.
Title. Thank you, Florence.
With all three Doctors.
Adventures,
They made it pretty clear that outside of that, which is like a weird schism of them all having to meet each other, that sometimes the Doctor will run into like a different variation of himself. So that's possible.
It's happened many times over the years.
Yeah, Tom Baker even met the first Doctor.
There was the three Doctors, and then the five Doctors, mm-hmm. and then there was the 50th.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The 50th. In the 50th, they all were there. Like, every single iteration
was
in the same place.
That's what I was talking about.
Which is
the name.
The next rumor that's out there is that we are going to revisit the Time War from Pierre Capaldi, from 12's perspective. Mm-hmm. Because that we know that he goes back there because there's that little moment in the 50th where it's like, no, all 13, and you see the angry brows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the vault isn't the Time War is time locked, right? So it's constantly
Well, not anymore. Happening? He had to unlock that in order to, like, to bring Gallifrey back into that unclear, like, where is it? Because we've been there now.
For that particular timeline. But we did see, you just said, the 13th with the angry eyebrows. So that means that kind of hints at the possibility of him being, of what you're saying, of him going back into the Time War.
So it is, I guess that it's possible, and I think we talked about that a little bit last week, that it would hold a door of some kind to Gallifrey. I guess, like, Time Lord technology, Gallifrey could just be in there, in that
Right,
right.
Well, I've got a whole dimension in my phone box. I've got a whole planet in my closet.
This
guy's crazy.
Indeed.
That theory holds up, but all of these things coming to a head, like if the rumor that David Bradley's playing the first Doctor, John Sim coming back as the Master, who was carted off to Gallifrey in 10's farewell episode. We know that there's a preview of what is the original design of the Cybermen coming, which version of the Cybermen were the primary villain of the episode where the first Doctor died and then had to regenerate. So it could be that we are going back through
the Doctor has to go through
these things. If during the Time War, maybe he encounters the first Doctor and then gets brought back to his regeneration.
Can I say something? So here's what I think. This is my prediction. I think that the Doctor, the reason he was instructed to stay on Earth to block the Vault is because the Vault does lead to the time lock of the Time War. And because he's gone traveling, doing whatever he is in time, a version of the Master returns, gets into the Vault, and decides, like, let's just go back and change some stuff in the past in the Time War. And that allows for the master that we know of, John Sim, to also be unlocked as well. So there's, like, because if Gallifrey at one point was frozen in time, and what we're basically seeing is that version of Gallifrey that's moving around, and they're trying to preserve it so nobody changes it or affects it, maybe that could be what's in the vault. And what could happen?
Yeah, we get it. Fun.
So that's gonna be something. I don't know. I did that one day. I was working at a farmer's market, and I started doing the master's click, and somebody was
like, "It makes you feel like you're going."
I was like, "I watched the doc."
Have you heard about the Saxon guy that was going to be voting for him soon?
Yeah, I think vote for Saxon.
Yeah. I think he sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm also wondering if they're going to do the regeneration backwards thing, like kind of cycle back.
Cycle back?
Yeah, because they're also talking about how since he's the 13th...
It was a freebie.
13th regeneration, it's going to be different than any of the other regenerations we've seen.
The only other Time Lord, I think one other that I don't remember who it was, but we know the Master got an extra set.
Right.
What?
Like this.
Yeah.
Woman, doctor, please.
There's a ton of rumors going around this week about who is playing the Doctor. Like, everybody has a different leak that they're this person is confirmed. And it's like, the BBC, every time, is like, no casting decisions have been made. Like, everybody calm down.
I'm also saying, my theory is, like, if he does cycle back, I don't think he's going to cycle back for very long. But it could be fun to kind of see him kind of revert back to the other Doctors for a second. And then maybe ending with the first Doctor, which is how the first Doctor comes in. And then he dies again, and then we see the whole new Doctor.
And then
it kind of restarts.
The actors dead outside of William Hartnell?
My God, he's changing into this.
All like the back of their heads, and you're like, I know the haircut.
Way they did it with the CG'd Christopher Eccleston's face for that quick moment help me out, War Doctor. John Hurt. They CG'd Eccleston's face onto John Hurt for that, like, couple frames. They could easily do something similar
and that might also be what happens to the Master too, but I do kind of hope we have Missy meeting the other.
They said they were going to meet face to face.
I hope so.
My guess is that he's going to regenerate into Sims and effectively now having the face of his own enemy. He won't know what to do.
Dude, and then Sims will be the if the John new Sim became the Doctor, I'd be all about that.
I mean, I'm putting that prediction out there.
We can sure he's a series regular on The Catch, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
Don't matter.
Yeah, he'll and I know the chat saw, like, chat feels me here, like, I want Hayley Atwell to play the Doctor. Mm. She just committed to a new series that's shooting right now, so it seems unlikely.
Well, maybe she could double duty. A lot of people are doing double duty these days.
That's true. I mean, they're not going to be shooting until 2018 at the earliest.
And she hasn't had the best run.
Actually, that may not be true. They might shoot before the end of the year.
Well, I don't know. I'm not in charge of their schedules.
Could you be, though?
I wish I was. Although I'm not very organized,
however,
so it wouldn't be great.
However, the rumor mill has included a woman. Mm-hmm. In fact, this week, one of the big rumors was an African-American woman whose name escapes me because I was not familiar with her or any
of her
work.
Was she the woman who was in The Cursed Child? Was she the woman that was the first black female Hamlet? I don't know their names either. But.
I'm looking.
That could be interesting too, because sometimes
everybody bam.
Sometimes they also plant in the current companion kind of what the next Doctor is going to be. You have a previous Scottish companion and then becomes Scottish.
Michaela Cole.
What has she been in?
She was in Chewing Gum.
Oh,
the lead of Chewing Gum.
Yeah.
Oh.
Whoa, she would be
funky. She's the creator. Yeah.
I like that tone.
She denies that rumor.
Yeah, she just did season 2 of Chewing Gum.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, that came out like a year ago.
But if she's been in the conversation at the BBC, they're at least open to it. Despite like weird things like from their communications people, like there's no female doctor, like to an angry dad.
There's a female master, so like
it is possible within the lore. It is there are interesting questions if they're going to do it.
Kind of hinting at the possibility of it for a minute, like even when you think back to the last season when he shoots the guy and
the general,
and when he turns back into a woman, he's like, oh, first time as a man, so much ego. Just like, so there is a possibility that there could be a one-off of a female doctor. It's not possible.
I would be all for it because I think it would be an interesting, different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of it changes a ton about the show, especially how it's viewed. Like,
there's more of a conversation about his relationship with his companions, because for some people that. Like the idea of like an older man always running around with really young women, like that's a stereotype to that. So if it's, are they going to change it to a young man, or are they just not going to? Are they going to keep it as a young woman? Like, how are they going to deal with that?
Yeah, is it going to be a younger woman? Is it going to be an older woman? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be a 30-year-old woman? Yeah. Like, just
are they
going to
negotiate that?
Oh, I hope they don't. The one thing I hope they don't do is Bill remaining for the next Doctor? Do we know?
The current rumor is that is no.
Because I would hate it if all of a sudden it becomes like a romance between Bill and the
Moffitt's
Doctor.
Well, it's Moffitt's done, so it won't be some type of weird fantasy. Okay.
I mean, it might. I mean, who knows?
I just really like having a companion that isn't being shipped to the Doctor.
Exactly.
So I kind of want to stay away from that.
I would love a female buddy cop for a
season
of Doctor Who.
Real quick, because we're about to run out of time, and we could talk about this topic all day.
Yep.
Next week's episode, Thin Ice, because we got the tail end. They teleported into London. Mm-hmm. I think he said they were in the Thames. Mm-hmm. And then an elephant showed up.
It's like 1814.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Something like that.
And we got in what we see of the little trailer, we do see that there's a big old monster.
There is in the water.
Big old monster in the water.
Mm. Yeah. Looks interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm like ready to get away. Personally, I'm always ready to get away from one-offs.
Yeah.
Unless they're really, really good. Because I want to know what's in the vault. Mm-hmm. I want to get back. Right. I want to get Nardal back in the picture, because I think Nardal is so much fun to have around, and the dynamic between the three of them that's formulating is awesome.
Yeah.
And if we don't go back to 2017, we're not going to get Nardal back.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen in the episode after this one. Yeah. So, but we'll see.
I actually feel like, what with the line where Bill is like, what if you can't get back? I feel like they're going to be traveling. It's going to take them a while to get back to that school in that time.
And that's when the vault's going to get hijacked. Yeah.
Right. So it does leave Nardole kind of with something to do, because he's probably
making tea,
taking care of the vault a little bit. Yeah.
He is a robot.
But and also, just another thing, the vault is for friends only. So that might mean that it's a friendly that gets to break into the vault.
Well, yeah. It wasn't the vault that was friends only, right?
He said the door to the vault was friends only. It opens for people who are friends of the Doctor.
It was... Right. Well, not the vault itself, but the door to the vault.
The first
security, friends only. I wonder if Missy would qualify.
Yes, she's the doctor's oldest friend.
Yeah. Yep. So while you speculate on that, we're gonna sign out. Until next week, guys, be sure to shoot us your favorite theories. Who do you think you would want to be the Doctor going forward? Hit us in the comments below if you're on YouTube, or if you're listening to this, leave a comment on iTunes or wherever you happen to be listening, or send us a tweet. You
can give us them 5 stars.
Yeah.
Yum,
yum, yum, yum, yum.
5 stars.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ZachWilson. And also here at AfterBuzz on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Leftovers.
And you can find me at Tari J, T-A-R-I-J-A-Y. You can also find me on the DC slate, which comes back this week. We got Supergirl. Ooh. We got Flash. Ooh. We got Arrow. Ooh. Not Legends of Tomorrow.
Not Legends. That's my bread and butter. But you can find... I'm Dave Child. You can find me at Mr. Dave Child, DaveChild.com. But I'll be on American Gods next week, and I'm also on iZombie and Fargo. So catch me on all of those. They're really good shows.
Got Mary Elizabeth Winston.
Yeah.
Hey. Great. Sorry, my voice. Whatever. I'm Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. I will not be here next week for any of my shows, but I will be back the week after for Handmaid's Tale, Doctor Who, and the Unproduced Table Read.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Until next week. Allons-y.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Next Sunday.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.